Ja, kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten. Noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako niso lahko počne. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek skultiviramo dogodek tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi tu mislite.
Kultivator vedno užge.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pač sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži. Drži.
Težave sirskega Ciprčana na Madžarskem. V današnjem kultivatorju se bomo posvetili primeru Ruske 11 oziroma bolj aktualnemu primeru Ahmeda. V tem primeru gre za 11 ljudi, ki jih je madžarska policija aretirala zaradi udeležbe na protestih 16. septembra 2015 na srbsko-mađarski meji in prečkanja te meje. Zakaj od vseh protestnikov ravno teh 11, ne ve nihče. Dan pred protestom je mađarska vlada spremenila zakon in ilegalen prestop meje spremenila iz prekrška v kaznivo dejanje, za kar je zagrožena kazen od 1 do 5 let zapora. V Sloveniji znaša kazen najmanj 400 evrov globe. Deset ljudi je bilo obsojenih zaradi ilegalnega prečkanja meje in udeležbe na protestu. Ti so že na prostosti. Ahmeda, ki je bil tudi eden od udeležencev protesta, pa je prvostopensko sodišče novembra 2016 obsodilo na 10 let zapora zaradi terorizma in ilegalnega prečkanja meje. Terorizma je bil obsojen, ker je na protestu govoril po megafonu in metal kamne v policiste. Drugostopensko sodišče je to sodbo včeraj razveljavilo. Kaj se je dogajalo na srbsko-mađarski meji leta 2015, razloži Aron Demeter, predstavnik za stike z javnostjo iz organizacije Amnesty International.
Basically what happened was that the Hungarian government shut down the Hungarian-Serbian border on the 15th of September, so just the day before Ahmed and his family arrived to the border with hundreds of other people seeking refuge. The people didn't have any clue what's going on. They just saw that the border was closed, but at the end, at the beginning, no one told them what's going on, why they can't go to Hungary. Basically, many of these people wanted to just pass through Hungary to go to Austria and then to Germany. So what happened was that these people stuck basically in Serbia and they couldn't go into the territory of Hungary. There was no communication. There was many policemen and riot police on the scene. There was the fence, police cars and so on. And there was actually a very long situation. People were standing in front of this fence, and they were trying to ask the police to let them go and let them enter to the territory of Hungary. But the police refused it. And they said that they can't go to Hungary. They can only apply for asylum in the transit zone, which is basically a dedicated space for lodging refugee claims. It was like the afternoon of this 15th of September, and after hours the things got intensified. After it was clear that there's no way that these people can go, some people started to throwing like water bottles, shoes towards the police to the police, and the police responded quite heavily. They used tear gas and water cannons against the group.
Razloži tudi ozadje madžarskega sprejetega strožjega azilnega zakona dan pred protesti in s tem sprejemanja beguncev na Madžarsko.
There is and there was, there is a law on asylum in Hungary, obviously, and there was just numerous new laws was enacted just before this situation, which basically criminalized the entry to the Hungary for people. So right now in Hungary, someone is committing a crime if he is passing through the fence on the southern border. And this was very new at the time. So this was a new law that was adopted by the Hungarian parliament. And actually these 11 people who were caught was one of the first people who were charged and convicted under this new law. It's quite complicated and it's quite a long story, but at the bottom line is that Hungary is basically shut down its border in 2015 and made it incredibly hard for refugees and asylum seekers to seek asylum in the country. They established these two transit zones on the southern border. These are like container camps where people can apply for asylum, but the authorities only let very few people into these transit zones per day. So there was a huge line and a huge waiting time before this transit zones, and actually no one spoke to the people and no one told them in 2015 what these transit zones are. There were no signs, so people didn't have any clue what to do and where they could apply for asylum. They just arrived from Serbia to the border, and they saw that the border is closed and there are many policemen.
Beguncev nihče ni obvestil o strožjih pogojih in namestitvenih centrih, kamor naj bi šli. 10 beguncev, ki so bili obsojeni nelegalnega prečkanja meje in protestiranja, je že na prostosti, saj so večino obsojene kazni že preživeli v priporu. Zaključek sojenja tem 10 ljudem opiše Judit, članica Osvoboditve Ruske 11 solidarnostnega omrežja.
I think it ended about in February, I think. The second level court. All the people got like from the 10 people 9 got less than 2 years of prison. And after, since they already spent most, like more than two-thirds of their prison sentence in detention centers, like actual prisons almost, some of them, they were released. So after they were put into open camps, and from the open camps they just moved to Western Europe. Yes, and one of the person was still in prison for some time, and he was released recently.
Pri sojenju enemu od teh 10 beguncev pa je zasedba prevajalska družba, ki jo je najela Madžarska, oziroma pa je zasebna prevajalska družba, ki jo je najela Madžarska država, narobe prevedla njegovo pričanje. Recimo, šli bomo proti meji, da jo bomo prečkali, so spremenili v šli bomo proti meji, da jo bomo nasilno oziroma da bomo nasilno vdrli skozi, ne glede na karkoli. V drugih primerih niso preverjali prisotnosti prevodov, saj se sodišču niso zdeli sumljivi. Nadaljuje Judit.
We know for sure that there were not simply mistakes of translation, but one of the testimony of a younger man was completely changed. I've just read it recently, and the meaning of the text is completely different than what he wanted to say. Actually, his translation was done by a private company that was hired by the state to do the translation, And it became suspicious during the trial because this young man was aware of what kind of trial it is, and he was really checking, and he couldn't recognize his testimony. So then he stated that to the judge, who was a bit suspicious with his statement, but after he realized that, okay, it's better to check if the testimony is really true. So the judge sent it to revise to another translation office, and then it turned out that it's completely different. So they charged the translator, but they didn't check her other works. They just checked this one. The argument was that, yeah, in the others, there was no, like, they didn't become suspicious, the other texts. So that was the only one where this idea came up, that it can be a mistranslated text.
A ta napaka ni vplivala na njegovo kazen, ki je bila tista oziroma ki je bila ista kot pri ostalih. Eden od udeležencev protesta je bil tudi Ahmed, ki prihaja iz Sirije. Sicer je državljan Cipra, ki pa je poskusil pomagati družini priti iz Sirije v Nemčijo. Bil je tudi edini v množici beguncev, ki je govoril angliško. Aaron razloži, kaj je delal na protestih.
And one people from this group was Ahmed H., who arrived to the Hungarian border with his elderly parents, with his brother and his wife, and with his nieces and uncles. So he basically got caught in this situation. He throwed three solid objects towards the police, and he was speaking before the riot to a megaphone, trying to calm down the crowd. Ahmed H. was the only one who was speaking English from the crowd, so he was basically the dedicated guy who tried to talk to the Hungarian police and ask them to let the people go. He was saying many times that they don't want any trouble, they come with peace, they just want to want the police to let them go, so they don't want any trouble. But after the riot has started, he was basically find himself in the middle of this riot. And then 3 days later he was arrested in a train station in Budapest, and since then he is in pretrial detention.
Prvostopensko sodišče ga je novembra 2016 obsodilo na 10 let zapora zaradi terorizma in ilegalnega prečkanja meje. Včeraj je drugostopensko sodišče sodbo razveljavilo. Argumente razloži Judit.
The main argument of the second instance court was that although the first instance court collected enough evidences, they just used it really arbitrarily. So really important materials were ignored. For example, there was a voice record of a policeman, which actually recorded Ahmed telling that we left Hungary, please let us go, there are children in the crowd, so on. And it completely contradicts with the statement of the policeman that they gave, because most of the policemen told that Ahmed actually was threatening them, Ahmed was giving ultimates to them to open the borders. And the record is completely different comparing to that. So that was one of the arguments, that somehow, although they had the evidences, they didn't analyze the evidences enough, or they didn't try to actually put them together, see. And the other one, what was really important, is argument that they didn't analyze properly what was the motivation of throwing the stones. And what the judge told, that in the case of if he wanted to force the state with throwing the stone, force the state to act in a certain way to follow his demands, then the terrorism charge can stand. But if this act of throwing the stones was done out of despair, or anger, then it's a completely different kind of motivation. So then he can't be depicted, or he can't be actually convicted as a terrorist. That is really important what happened. So they sent it back, but now he's in still in pretrial detention, in complete isolation. Still none of us could visit him, and probably the new trial or new hearing will restart in half a year. So half a year more of prison.
Sojenje Ahmedu v kontekstu mađarske kampanje proti beguncem interpretira Aaron.
First of all, and this is Amnesty's long-standing position on the case, that no one can be charged and convicted on terrorism if there is only evidence that he threw some things. So throwing stones or whatever, it's not a terrorism. That's very obvious from the very beginning. But we have to keep in mind that the whole Ahmed case is happening in a very intense and complex societal background in Hungary. So the Hungarian government is having an ongoing campaign against refugees and migrants since the beginning of 2015. The government is trying to link the terrorist or the terrorism with the refugees and asylum seekers. So basically, the case of Ahmed is kind of a showcase for the Hungarian government to present that these people who are fleeing from Syria or from Afghanistan or from wherever, these are terrorists and these are a threat to Hungary and to Europe. So that's why the Hungarian government is very much involved in this case, and they would like a very harsh sentence to kind of, you know, back up their story that Ahmed or the people like Ahmed are dangerous. But it's good to keep in mind that Ahmed is not a refugee or not an asylum seeker. He was living in Cyprus for more than 10 years. He has a family there. He has a Schengen visa, so he can travel freely within the EU. His wife is actually a Cypriot national. And the only way Ahmed ended up in the border was that he was trying to help his parents and other relatives to go to safely to Germany. His parents and the whole Ahmed H family is from Syria, from Aleppo. He tried to help his parents to go safely to Germany. Ahmed speaks English, he speaks Arabic, he speaks Greek. So he was a huge asset for the family, because he could move freely within the EU. So he's not a refugee. That's very important.
Kakšna ugibanja pa se o sojenju Ahmedu pojavljajo v mađarskih medijih, pove Matej, aktivist iz Mađarske.
Včeraj v času sojenja so po medijih začele krožiti te teorije zarote, da v bistvu je Ahmedov odvetnik, ki je nekdanji minister za pravosodje in član socialistične stranke, bivši, sodeluje z nami, se pravi z temi skupinami, ki solidariziramo z enajsterico iz Reske in z Ahmedom, da, in pa z Evropsko unijo, se pravi, da mi si sodelujemo z Šorošem proti Mađarski. In to je pač vse v sklopu tega splošnega predstavljanja Šoroša kot glavnega sovražnika, ne, kot tega, ki hoče spodkopati mađarsko suverenost in uvesti neko globalistično diktaturo. Obtožujejo nas in pa Evropsko unijo, da zato, ker je kritizirala mađarsko ravnanje z migranti in pa posebej Ahmedovo sojenje, da v bistvu podpiramo terorizem s tem.
Ni točno določeno, kdaj bo naslednje sojenje. O nadaljevanju sojenja zaključi Aaron.
It's quite hard to set up the timeline because basically it depends on whether the new court will allow new evidences. So basically what will happen is that now it's summer, so there's no trials in Hungary. So in the very future, like in September, October, possibly the whole procedure starts again. The court and the prosecution and the defense team will re-examine the evidences. The defense team, I think, they will try to attach new evidences to the case, and there is a chance that there will be a first instance decision at the end of the year. So it's still like, let's say, a half year until it goes to the trial again. And since then, until then, Ahmed will be in detention in Budapest.
Kultiviral je vid.
E, kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten. Noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako niso lahko počeje. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek skultiviramo dogodek tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi tu mislite.
Kultivator vedno užge.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pravzaprav sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži.